I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all. Oh. Well,
Wendy's Big Show on a throwback Thursday, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. We're one day away from our descent to the south, almost to the border, for Brat Bowl 1. We'll be down at the Brat Stop tomorrow. All of our shows here on The Fan will be broadcasting live from the historic Brat Stop, along with 670 The Score from Chicago, getting you ready for Bears and Packers. It is Bears Week. It is the 200th meeting between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about it with Rob Reichel. Coming up at 3:48, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold football reporter, is here at 5:35. Get into some Bucks conversation as well during our buzz. And also, Eric Name stops by at 4:48, drops some knowledge, and we'll take a look on the other side. Somebody that you also will be able to meet down at the Brat Stop tomorrow from 10 to 2, broadcasting from 670 The Score. Also, Bears postgame on NBC Sports Chicago. Lawrence Holmes gives us the Bears perspective at 3 o'clock. Getting ready for Bears and Packers as they just have the slimmest of margins, the slimmest hopes into the NFL playoffs. You can just knock them right on out and put them out of their misery this weekend if you're the Green Bay Packers. But right now, 414-799-1250, little bit disturbing, little bit sad. I think this is the best way that I can talk about this situation, this idea. Yeah, it's just a little bit disappointing, little bit sad, and I don't know exactly where all of this nonsense is coming from. But at the winter meetings, into his first year of arbitration, it is clear that they are not balking, they being the Milwaukee Brewers, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, at the idea of Josh Hader being on the move. As once again, now Ken Rosenthal is reporting more and more that the Brewers are indeed listening to offers for 71, the back-to-back Rolaids reliever of the year, all MLB, performer, first team, multiple time All-Star, 24 years old, and it appears that the Milwaukee Brewers are indeed listening to offers for Josh Hader. So at some point, it needs to be addressed and it needs to be understood, and we're going to ask you right now, what do you need for the Brewers to get back in a deal for Josh Hader? 414-799-12. I don't know how I'm doing this.
Why are you all dressed up?
Don't I look nice? I look nice, yeah. I mean, you don't need a new... I mean, don't need a reason to class up the joint every once in a while.
You normally do. I mean, he's got a nice V-neck sweater on. He's got a white t-shirt underneath.
2XT. That's why the sweater actually
finishes up.
He's
got nice shoes
on.
He's wearing a belt.
Well, thank you very much.
This is very unlike Billy.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strange. Very
strange. You're going to work somewhere else. You better tell me. so this is what we got going on. We mentioned this briefly, kind of joking, when the Lindor trade rumor started with the Cleveland Indians. Oh. About possibly going to the Dodgers. And one of the names that was thrown in there is a kid that could go back, prospect could go back, is Gavin Lux, who played at Kenosha Indian Trail, and who is a stud, it appears, based on what he did in the minors and what he did briefly up in the major league level already. I am here to tell you that I'm totally open to trading Josh Hader. I wasn't when this originally surfaced.
Yes.
Like, I thought it was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Really wasn't there on it. And a lot of people said, you gotta listen. You don't know what you can get. You should at least listen. Like, he shouldn't be untouchable. You should be able to listen on everybody. Fine. So, when the Ken Rosenthal report comes out that the Yankees are hot to trot for Hader, and they're the heaviest in pursuit at this point, and then the other two teams thrown in are the Dodgers and the Mets, and I'm on the phone with Billy, and Billy is very disturbed, not happy at all.
He says, distraught. I don't understand.
Only
it. I don't
doing
know how
this
I'm doing it.
if Gavin Lux is involved, that's the only way I'm doing this. I said, okay, well, let's look. So I called up, I believe it was the Mets organization. I think it was the Mets organization, and looked at their farm system. And I went down.
Which you like to do. You like looking at prospects. Trying to figure out who could be the boomer bust.
Correct.
Look at the lottery tickets.
That's
dissect
what I
your
do.
Opportunity. Yes.
Correct.
Yes,
I love
you do.
It.
Yeah, you love that.
I absolutely love
it. And I also
it.
Do enjoy that usually around July 31st.
I love reading the descriptions and who they're comparable to and all this other stuff. And granted, you nobody really knows, but I like looking at it. And when you call up the Mets, there is a catcher that pretty much has all-star potential written all over them at like 5 or 6 on their list, I believe it is. And then there's a third baseman. There are a couple of third basemans on that list, I believe, if memory serves correct. And I'm reading descriptions to Billy, and Billy, I could tell, was starting to sweat on the other side of the phone.
I was.
Because he was starting to get a little juiced about what he was hearing possibly coming back. When the Brewers went to Josh Hader, and as apparently is out there, offered him a deal, and Josh Hader said, no, I'm good. I'm just going to play it out through arbitration. I think that was the day that Josh Hader pretty much dug himself a hole. And at that point, the Brewers said, okay.
No problem. I would completely agree with that.
No
problem. Agree. They will be open to it. Yes.
But if we're going to sign Christian Yelich to a huge deal, we can be paying you a huge deal on top of it. And David Stearns is not an idiot. He also, look, there's Josh Hader right now. They're talking about an MLB network.
Oh, come on. Can't even get away from this. Those numbers are unreal of what this dude has put up.
But the thing that goes along with this is his numbers, innings-wise, are through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So
they are.
Do you think he is going to have that elbow and that shoulder hold up for the next 3 or 4 years before problems begin and all of a sudden he's not the same pitcher anymore? And I think if you're David Stearns, at this point in time, and you look at, okay, probably have to pay him $5 million or so, plus he's Super 2, so it means he's going to get to free agency a year sooner. I really believe this is the best position you could be in as far as dealing him and getting a boatload, because you're giving him to another team with a ton of time left to use Josh Hader. They should be able to get a good couple of years out of Josh Hader without him ever getting to free agency to really have to pay him true market value probably, that he should have coming at this point. Hader showed glimpses this year, Billy, of being a little long ball prone, giving up some home runs.
For sure. Okay? In a year where everybody was giving up a bunch of home runs.
Agreed.
Right?
Yep. Agreed. So maybe the Brewers have a little reservations there about maybe this isn't going to go, you know, that much longer here before things start unraveling maybe. We always say trust David Stearns. And David Stearns we trust. That's what we always say. So in this situation here, I find it hard to believe that anybody can say no to getting 2 or 3 top 100 prospects. Or, yeah, let's say it's 3 top 100 prospects. And let's say one's
at least, yes.
Let's say one's a catcher, one's a third baseman, and one's a starting pitcher. I don't say no to that. But this goes back to what we talked about with David Stearns at the toy drive last week, and that is there's a difference between rebuilding and reloading, right?
100%.
If you make this deal and you get prospects, that looks more like a rebuild than it does a reload. But if you trade Josh Hader for guys that are Major League Baseball players right now, and you get a couple of them, I'm willing to bet you will not get true value back for Josh Hader. The best chance you have of getting true value back for Josh Hader is by stocking up on a deal that brings you several top prospects in return. Yankees farm system, not that good. The prospects at the top of their system, like the second best prospect is 16. He's not even 17 yet. The top prospect is a pitcher who's, 21 was in AAA last year, but has some control issues. So I'm not sure.
Good. Yeah, those are the ones we want.
Right, but what I'm saying is I'm not sure what you would get back from the Yankees that you would look at and go, okay, we're getting equal value to Hader. That's worth it. For me, I don't know if you can do it at the major league level unless it's Carlos Correa with the Astros. Now, the Astros haven't been brought up by Rosenthal as a possible team, but Correa was brought up initially as they're listening on Correa. Carlos Correa is on his honeymoon. Carlos Correa called the Astros and said, hey, you going to trade me? Because I'm on my honeymoon, so if y'all are going to trade me, I'd like to know if
I'd like to have some heads up
what's
here.
Going on.
Send somebody to pack up the house.
And they, according to the Astros, reassured him that, no. Probably not happening. Don't worry about it. Go back and enjoy your honeymoon. Yeah. So that's kind of but Correa for Hader, That I was entertaining. You and I talked about that, and I brought it up on there. That I'm listening to that deal there. Hader and Correa, fine. Because Correa's 2 years, Hader's three or four, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that deal I would make. Because that helps you short-term, gives you that opens that window while you have Yelich and Braun and Keston here and Lorenzo Cain. And you're able to get Carlos Correa and then still be able to have money to go get a first baseman, let's say, to add to it, because Correa's not making a bunch of money. To be able to add to that, yeah, that makes sense. But odds are, if you trade Hader now, it's going to have to be for a bunch of prospects, and they're going to have to be high-end. And I think they're going to have to be in areas of need of what you need up at the major league level.
Yeah, you're not just stockpiling up players up the middle.
Like, I don't want five middle infielders.
No doubt. This is not me drafting in June where I'm picking all the up-the-middle top prospects, top athletes that you can look at. So, for you, it was Carlos Correa was the first eye-opener of a guy that could help you compete right now, today, that would make some sense.
And fair value, right. So you get an all-star for an all-star, a stud for a stud, and it fills a need on the infield.
The first name that came to my desk when I was reading up on all these different rumors and when they first started about a week ago, going into the winter meetings, was, I want to say it was either Jim Bowden, who has just been spot on, guys, from the Athletic, just spot on everything he has talked about of all these guys getting signed and where they're going, what the contracts are. It was either him or Rosenthal had their projections of where all these teams could go for a Mookie Betts trade. Mookie Betts was the first one that I thought of immediately and said, that helps you win, even though you're losing your second best player in this deal. Josh Hader's the second best player on this Brewers team, correct?
Mookie Betts is in the last year of his deal. I'm not doing that.
Right. And also then it was Josh Hader and more. So when I looked at that, it made me reassess where Josh Hader's value really was to other teams around baseball. If I'm going to trade three or four years of Josh Hader, I need to have 4, 5, 6 years of control value at a very, very minimal price.
Love me some Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's a hell of a bowler. Big-time bowler. Really, really good bowler.
So you're buying your Le'Veon Bell jerseys
now,
too. Man,
he is a good... He's been on the PBA TV show, the All-Star show.
And 251 with the flu is pretty impressive by Le'Veon Bell, too.
Mookie Betts was a very, very good high school bowler. It may have been able to do it professionally. That's how good he is. It's not T.O. screwing around, not knowing what the hell he's doing. This dude can flat-out bowl. Anyways, so that's part of the reason I like Mookie Betts. So, one-year rental... out of the question.
No chance.
I'm not trading Josh Hader for a rental. Mm-hmm. I don't care who the rental is. I'm not trading Hader for a rental. I'm trading Hader for guys that I have young, controllable talent, right? That's what I want back in this Josh Hader
and
deal.
When I hear Correa, that's basically a rental to me because I'm seeing 2 years, that's the Yelich window, and then you're lining yourself up to go into the doldrums after the 2011 season for me. That's where that fear creeps into my mind of, it's 2011 all over again, Prince and Braun. Who do you decide who can get signed, or if anyone can?
Yeah, but see, for me, it's not necessarily that. I get to make my run with Correa this year, and then I can reassess where I'm at next offseason. And then if I feel like I need to move Correa, then I can. Or if the start of next season, that following season doesn't go well, I can move Correa at the deadline and recruit some prospects still without him walking away for nothing. Mookie Betts, you're stuck. I mean, I guess you could play a couple of months, and then if you're not in a trade,
you're going,
Mookie Betts.
Right.
But no,
it's brutal.
I don't think I'm willing to do that.
The only way, and this is incredibly selfish, short-sighted of me, and I have vowed that if you're going to be a successful small market organization, similar to the St. Louis Cardinals, you remember Cody Rasmus' trade? Everybody thought that he was going to be tremendous.
Yeah, but their payroll is better.
Is way higher. Correct. But their ability and passion to trade players at the top of their game when people believe they're getting only better. Aledmys Diaz was one of the more recent ones as well. They will ship out a young player because they find value across the board for him. It's Gavin Lux or bust for me. If I'm going into this thing, I'm setting my infield for the future. It's going to be the Wisconsin product, and partially because he is from Wisconsin, and I like the weird story. It would be Lux at third, Urias at short, Hira at second, and then we roll with Brandon Woodruff being the top of the rotation guy, and it vows on everybody else in that farm system, in that realm of also the pitching lab, Burns, Peralta, even Zach Brown, they have to hit. Because if I'm making that move, I'm opening the window back up a little bit. I'm broadening up for 5 years of the infield being together with Hira, Urias, and Lux going in forward. And I also think that can produce this year and next year in the Christian Yelich window. And also, if Josh Hader is getting traded, that means Christian Yelich is getting signed. It was one or the other for me, that if you are going to be able to ink a Yelich, you're not going to ink Hader. If you were trying to sign Hader, there's no way you're signing Christian Yelich. I would prefer to go all in and put all my eggs in the basket of signing Christian Yelich than I would a incredibly volatile with over 200 innings on a left arm that is one of the more ferocious deliveries I've ever seen. I will bank and bet and put my eggs in the basket of Christian Yelich before the Josh Hader situation.
I just don't see any reason to sign Christian Yelich to an extension. I don't understand why you would do such a thing. You have this dude on value for, what, 3 more years? I mean, there is no reason, none, to go to this guy before you have to pay him money. None whatsoever. And if in 2 years, going into the last year of his deal,
sure,
if you have Gavin Lux, who's raking, and you have Keston Hira, who's raking, and you have Urias, who's raking, you can trade Christian Yelich and get starting pitching if you want. You can trade Christian Yelich and get a boatload of wherever else you want to place it. If you have enough offense in the lineup to where you go, hey, I don't need him for our offense to roll. I can move him and get other parts, other places, versus spending all of that money. We asked David Stearns this, Billy, when we were out there. And the question was, is there a percentage of payroll where you go, whatever the number is, I can't go over this percentage of payroll for one player? Meaning, Christian Yelich, I love you, but I can't give you more than 20% of our overall payroll year to year. I can't. It's just too much money. Now, that 20% number is going to be different for David Stearns than it is for Brian Cashman with the Yankees, right? It's going to be totally different. It's going to be totally different. So from that perspective, again, Brewers are in between a rock and a hard spot. If I'm Christian Yelich, I'd be open to signing a long-term deal and getting all that guaranteed money as long as possible and knowing I'm set, because later you can force your way out like you did with the Marlins and get yourself out of there on a trade if you don't want to be in Milwaukee if they screw you, but at least get your guaranteed money. But if I'm David Stearns and the Brewers, I'm playing this sucker out. I'm slow playing Christian Yelich. He's going nowhere anyhow. And then let's see if between now and then I can get this offense to the point where I don't need Christian Yelich, the MVP. It's different than Giannis for the Bucks.
True, because one player means so much more and values into the NBA.
NBA,
yes, I agree with that.
I mean, regardless of what you have around that kid, you're going to be a contender for the East for years to come. In Major League Baseball, you give Christian Yelich $35 million or whatever dumb number you decide to give him, that's a lot of money when your payroll is only $120.
Dan Plucker's having a good time over on the other side laughing at me because I am literally breaking out in a sweat. I'm shaking. My leg is twitching. I can't help it at this exact moment.
I've enjoyed it.
This conversation is painful for me.
And you didn't
even think of this.
A lot of people thought it was a bunch of garbage when it came out about them listening on Hader. Well, guess what? Rosenthal, who I taste pretty trusted when it comes to baseball, is all over this right now. So I trust Rosenthal when he says you have three teams.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Mets, Yankees. Yankees have a horrible farm system, but those three that are in play right now for Josh Hader.
Feels like you were a game away from a World Series 2 years ago, and now you're a 4A club.
But again, I don't think we should overreact to what this team is going to be yet. Let's just
wait incredibly and level-headed
see.
Of you. Yes.
Right. I'm trying so hard not to get mad about this because there's so much time left. So let's just wait and see. Like Josh Donaldson. I love Josh Donaldson, right? Nice third baseman. Hell, play for sure. Play him at
former
first.
Former MVP.
First or third. Don't care. But he's, what, 34?
34 years old.
And he wants like a 3 or 4 year deal? Not doing it. Not in Milwaukee. No, sir. You can go play somewhere else. You want to talk about a 2 year deal, maybe. 4 year deal? 3 year deal? We're done talking.
All right, Brewers fans, what would you need the Brewers to get back in a deal for Josh Hader? 414-799-1250.
Nothing. I'm not trading.
And that's very okay.
You can say that.
And I want to say that so badly
that's
at
what
this
I
exact
did say.
Moment.
Change my mind.
But I don't think I can. I just do not think I can because of the reasons that you just laid out, Steve, that if this is going to be a sustainable success business model, you do have to make the incredibly tough decisions that sometimes include your top players. LeRoy Butler's going to help me out here on the other side of the break, and He's going to calm me down maybe a little bit, hopefully, because sometimes he's the level-headed baseball approach that he can just calm me down in the locker room, that this isn't the only way the Brewers can continue to be successful. But I cannot think of trading Josh Hader, and I can't believe that I'm saying that if there are multiple packages that I would do for Josh Hader. 414-799-1250 if you want to join this conversation. 2 for $5, that's a package that I can always get behind at Wendy's.
Hey, listen, that's a great package. And then the birthday cake Frosties, right?
Mm-hmm.
50 years they've been celebrating.
I'm going to need a few of those if Josh Hader's not in a Brewers uniform.
Oh, you're going to celebrate after they trade him?
No, I'm going to soak in my sorrows.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, tears in that Sunday.
Oh, that's disgusting. So this is how it works. 50 years of Wendy's celebrating with them, right? They take
you
their vanilla Frosty. They've changed it to the birthday cake Frosty, and it tastes like birthday cake, folks. It is delicious. We're eating them up at the toy drive. So that's amazing. Then they got a Sunday version of this. They take the birthday cake Frosty ice cream. They put it into a cup. Then they take sugar cookies, and they line the outside of the cup with sugar cookies. Then they take rainbow sprinkles, and they just drop them ever so slightly all over the top of the ice cream. Then they give you a spoon, and say, enjoy. It's just amazing. Limited time only. This isn't going to be something that's going to go on for months. This isn't something that's going to go on for years. This is the birthday cake Frosty celebrating 50 years. Birthday cake Frosty or the birthday cake Frosty cookie sundae. Available limited time only at Wendy's.
Twitter's all over this thing. Packages are coming in on Twitter at 105.7FM The Fan. What would you need to get back if you're the Milwaukee Brewers if Josh Hader's on the move? We'll get Leroy Butler's take next. It's the Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
We certainly enjoy winning. I think that's why you do this is to get to the moments like we had in 2018, to the moment we had this past year in Cincinnati. Those are really fun moments, and you enjoy those moments. The ultimate goal is to do what the Washington Nationals did this year, and that's why we continue to work. That's why we continue to try to get better. That's why we try to give ourselves as many bites at the apple as we possibly can, because we know once you get into the playoffs, you have no idea what can happen.
That's David Stearns just 1 week ago today. 1 week ago today.
Oh, man. Could you imagine being him right now? First of all, you're in a lot warmer weather. I was watching
That's
MLB
true.
Network last night. None of these dudes had jackets on. None of them. They were outside on the upper level somewhere, overlooking the pretty city of San Diego.
Good for them.
And it looked beautiful. None of them looked like they were cold. I'm in my bed, covered up to my neck. I was like, man,
You're wearing that winter jacket in the studio.
I've been taking it off all day since I've been here. I got here at like 9. I've been taking it off all day. I've been cold all day.
I'm sweating.
All day.
I'm sweating because of this conversation. I don't love it. I just do not love this
idea.
But
could you imagine being David Stearns? You know, Gary always makes fun of me. Ah, Sparky, you know, if you were a GM, you'd do this, you'd do that. Maybe I would have no patience. But how much fun does this have to be? You're David Stearns.
It's real world fantasy baseball.
When you have what everybody wants, and they got to ante up, and they got to go against each other, and you can sit back, kick your feet up, and go, first of all, I don't have to trade them. I got them for several more years before I have to trade them.
Yeah, I don't have to. That's right. The best part. I don't have to.
This isn't a guy in the last year of his deal, and he's told everybody he wants to be a Yankee. That's not what this is. This dude has several years left. He's healthy. He's not coming off injury. And you control this narrative and the situation as far as what you're going to get. Billy, he can hit a grand slam with this bad boy. A grand slam by making this Hader deal. Grand slam.
But it, like, across the board, is it a grand slam? Is it the best thing for your team if you're trading your second best player?
I will throw this out there to you. If you're a Brewers fan, knowing how Hader pitches, and you've seen Hader pitch,
a bunch of times.
Knowing the fact that he's like number one in reliever innings year in and year out, knowing all of that, do you feel like he's going to be healthy 3 years from now? Or do you think odds are at some point along the way he may end up getting hurt like most pitchers do nowadays? And if you say, oh, I think his elbow and shoulder will be okay, I think he can throw 200 plus innings out of the pen and with the veracity that he throws with his arm and his elbow slinging all over the place, yeah, I think he'll be okay. Okay. Fine. But if you say, maybe not. I haven't really thought about, maybe not. then you got to listen. You just do. And you went to him, tried to give him a deal, apparently, according to reports. He said no. So, okay. So he wants to play out this way. And if you're the Brewers, you've got to make a decision.
And that decision to say no to the initial deal, I thought was very understandable by Josh. I'm going to bet on myself that I'm going to be able to make myself a bunch more money into arbitration.
He should have walked over, talked to Ryan Braun, who took the deal when they offered to him when he had years left on his deal, and
bought
said,
him all out of his arbitration.
Right. And said, do you regret it, Ryan? Do you wish you would have played it out? Maybe he did have that conversation. And maybe Braun said, I do regret it. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I would have waited and got to free agency like Prince Fielder did. Maybe he would say, because remember, they went to Prince first back then.
Yeah.
Prince first offered him the money. Mm-hmm. He said, him and Scott Boras said, we're good.
No, we're going to free agency.
Okay. Ryan, how about you? Yeah, I'll take it. Thanks. I'm in. And he took it.
Pierce is not itching to trade Josh Hader, but after seeing the A's non-tendering Blake Treinen after one bad year, Treinen was awesome in 2018, and then the A's did offer him arbitration after one bad year. Would the crew do the same after one bad season? If yes, they should trade him now. Bucks and Six says, I need an ace in everyday third baseman and two top prospects, double A or higher, especially at the catching position. Now, that I think is a little bit exuberant to ask. I need somebody that's going to be able to help me win today, because I cannot, if I'm making this move, I cannot be fully waving the white flag, telling the rest of the dudes in that locker room that this year is all for naught, that we're trading away our most dangerous asset, our most dangerous player outside of the MVP from 2018 and probably should have been the MVP in 2019, that we are still going to be competing here. Before Leroy Butler gives his piece on this and then calms me down, hopefully.
No, take your time. Y'all baseball guys, take your time.
Roy, my stomach's hurting, though, so I think I need you on this. That's why I'm saying that. This was John Heyman when we mentioned the idea of the Brewers trading Josh Hader to him 2 days ago.
That would take a ton. At this point, with all the players they've lost, I know they're not as worried about publicity as some teams. I think that would be a tough one. He's a great fit for Milwaukee. He's done great there. He's a unique player. And I certainly don't think he fits New York, not his personality. He's great for Milwaukee, and they should keep him. That's my opinion.
we like that answer. Like that answer a lot. Yes, I do like that answer, John Heyman. I like that answer a lot. I think we should keep him. But as honest as I can be to myself, there's going to be a package that I think is fair. If it's the LA Dodgers, and Steve, we were talking about this in the break, and this part is ringing into my ears. If this is about still being able to compete, I don't think I can give him and send him to the team that won 108 games last year and bounced me out of the opportunity to go to the World Series 2 years ago. If I believe that I can still compete this year, he's got to go to the AL and he's got to go to the Yankees or he's got to go to the Red Sox or he's got to go somewhere out there. Because I do not want to see this dude again.
I agree 100%. If it's for this year, he's got to go out of the league. But if the view is we're looking at 2 to 3 years from now and making this work on Yelich's way out, if that's the goal to make that push then he can go to the Dodgers if that's what you want to do. Fact of the matter is, the best prospects you can get are the three teams listed by Ken Rosenthal. The Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Mets. The Dodgers have the best to pick from.
That's true.
But
no,
they're also apparently in talks for Lindor of Cleveland. So if they make that deal for Lindor from the Indians, then you can kiss Gavin Lux goodbye. He's gone in that deal. So now Ann May is going in that deal too, right? Wasn't that the other name being thrown out there?
That's the suggestion, that both would be in there.
So they both go. Now all of a sudden that list doesn't look as good anymore for the Dodgers. So if I'm Stearns, I want to move before the Lindor deal gets done because I want to get those Dodger kids before Cleveland gets them because of the three organizations, they've got the best.
I need Gavin Lux back in the deal if I'm going to the LA Dodgers, and if it's the New York Mets, as a lot of people are saying, I need Jeff McNeil and more because Jeff McNeil's one of my favorite players in the league right now, prototypical leadoff hitter. He can play a multitude of different positions. He can play the outfield. He can play on the infield. And then you also are stacking up your catching prospect that you love.
And the third-base prospect.
The third-base prospect as well. So
if I do get that, then I'm fine. But I need the catching and the third-base prospect that are like 5 and 6 or whatever on the Mets list.
Let's go to Matt on the south side before we get Leroy Butler in here.
Yeah,
Matt, you're on
that
the Wendy's
Matt
Big Show.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Not great, Matt. I'm actually sick.
I know. I hear you, man. Sparky, I just met you at Robert's Specialty Meet, man, so I'm just going
to call. Nice to meet you.
We apologize, sir.
No, it's all good, man. Man, one thing I'm worried about, and nobody's really bringing up, man, is chemistry, team chemistry, which is huge, especially in baseball. If it's me, I got to hang on to Hader, man. Maybe spend some money in starting pitching, you know, make some other trade for maybe a third baseman or whatnot. But I'm keeping Hader, especially 25 years old. He's young. You know, best part about this is the Brewers hold all the cards with all the prospects, all these contracts that we have that are lengthy. I'm not trading Hader, man. I'm with you, Billy.
Appreciate it, Matt. And I'm more on the camp of not trading Josh Hader. I need to be absolutely blown away by something to be going with this at this particular point in time. You're so close. You have the team still intact, but then I look at what is in the cupboard right now, and it makes me sad again. And understanding that maybe this year will be a little bit more disappointing than it could be as well. So leaping into the studios with Carlson, Blau, and Clemens, get the injury settlement you deserve at 414-342-1000. Leroy, are we ridiculous for even thinking that Josh Hader could be on the trade block?
Well, you're actually ridiculous even talking about this foolishness during Bear Week, but I play along. Was my mic on?
Yeah, it is. It's good. Oh. I like it.
Give me some backstory to what you and Steve talking about, because I know Steve talking about the man, I'm going to fall off and all this in the break. I wasn't supposed to say that, Steve.
No, I said it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know if he said it. But
verbatim. That's exactly what
I remember. He said
the
prince is going to die. I remember that. So, you know, don't sign him. You remember that one, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, he ended up retiring really early because he got hurt.
But it wasn't here. I mean.
Well, no, it was a couple years after, but the Brewers would have been on the hook for that deal. Yeah. Which they weren't, thank God.
So, reset that for me. What's your name?
This is Bill Schmidt.
Yeah.
Some people call me Baby Tausch as well.
Because I always thought that, I mean, I've never been a GM. I mean, I'm not like,
John guys Lynch, that plays.
I mean, but I thought you was all supposed to keep good players.
That's the idea. I just thought that was That is the theory of what this is.
I really do, because the smartest guy in the room, I think, would mean you're going to tear your team apart to make it better. That really worked out for Minnesota in the Dallas trade. I'm not trading this guy, man. Matter of fact, when we had David Stearns in the studio, we asked him that question. Y'all asked him. I didn't ask him. I mean,
you tried to clear the way and make sure that he didn't say anything stupid.
And I think whenever a guy says that the phone rings, he answers it. Means that everybody is available.
For sure.
Ain't that what they say, Steve? Sometimes they'll say, well, somebody, you always answer the phone. Yep. It's like a not answer.
No untouchables.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then I said I wouldn't address it unless, because I still have, I don't know what we're going to do with Yelich. I don't know. But I just got him in the back of my mind as far as money is concerned.
Right.
So you're thinking when Braun's money come off the books, can you afford Hader moving forward? Especially with Gerrit Cole guy. I don't know if you play relievers, that kind of money. But
big-time money.
Yeah, and can you pay Yelich in 3 or 4 years or whatever? How many more years you got control of Hader?
You have control of Josh Hader for 3 years,
Come on, man.
On the same timeline as Yelich, though, because
I know
what you just said is the exact thing I'm thinking. I gotta keep 22.
Well, I gotta keep
both of
them. I
cannot let him walk out the door.
Because you don't have anybody like Hader. You really don't. Well, you
Nobody
can send
does.
Him in there, and he's a difference maker. So, no, I'm not trading him. I'm gonna let him stay in that bullpen to let my fan base know that I still think we maybe one or two players away. But he's a part of the pieces. I just can't do that.
This must be Steve's friend. Chris says, I'm good with trading Hader and following up with trading Christian Yelich. That's the only way the Brewers can compete long-term. Too many major holes to fill right now. No payroll to fill them.
So that's the model that we thought we were going to get when David Stearns came in. Tear it up, rebuild, lose for 5 years, lose 100 games, I think what Rami and Steve were saying. And even Joe, I think, was in, let's lose 100 games for four. If I miss Corey, Steve, jump
Joe's
in.
Joe's all over the place.
Let's lose 100 games for 3 or 4 years. The fan base will understand.
And
they'll still give you 40,000 people on a Tuesday. So we'll take them for granted. We did this whole thing about getting Miller Park with all the taxes and people still paying for that. So we're going to rip this team out right from under you. And all of a sudden – just say, well, you know what? Let's, in the middle of winning playoffs 2 years in a row, let's stop doing that and get rid of your best player for prospects.
Speaking of that, Dan Plucker did some research.
Plucker, that's my guy.
I mean, he's feeding into this. So
no, not necessarily. But this is gives you an example. Aroldis Chapman, one of the top relievers in baseball, right?
No, too much baggage off the field. I don't want him.
No, not now. In 2016, he was traded to the Cubs from the Yankees. The Yankees got four prospects.
Man, get out of here, Joe.
Adam Warren.
You had your show. Get out of here.
Adam Warren, who's now 32.
Security!
And has a 5.34 ERA in 2019 and 20 and two-thirds.
Gross.
So that wasn't good. Yeah. Gleyber Torres.
He's pretty good.
278, 38 homers at age 22.
What's your point?
2019. So he gave me a deal. Billy McKinney, outfielder, not 25. Hit 220.
Okay, what's your point?
Yeah, not related though.
Okay.
227 and 18 homers.
And don't be using my information guy.
And Rashad Crawford, who's now 26, still in double A.
Joe, what's his point?
Hit 250, not 21 stolen bases. Well, of those four guys, really only one worked.
One worked.
Of those four, only really one worked. So if you're going to make this deal, those are the kind of odds you're kind of going into. And if you go back to the Sabathia trade that Cleveland and the Brewers made back then, the guy that was supposed to be all that and a bag of chips didn't work out. And
there's
instead,
no kind of chill. I like Doritos.
Michael Brantley was the player to be named later. He was the only guy in that whole deal that actually worked out for the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
Everybody else did not. Now, sometimes they all work.
And
Zach
that's the Greinke, thing.
Kansas City Royals deal, right? LCD's Escobar panned out. Lorenzo Cain panned out. They were able to trade the pitcher
Jacob
as well.
Jacob Odorizzi worked out as well.
And you guys know I love gambling. Odorizzi got him James Big Game Shields in order to win the World Series.
And you guys know I love gambling.
Okay, but what
trading
what
for
your,
prospects is worse than gambling. There is there's so much more variance in trading for prospects than there is just getting a lottery ticket. So that's why I am so very hesitant to do anything around these
lines. Let's recap. So Steve said get rid of him, right?
I say I would listen and I want a nice size package.
No, I wonder if she's pregnant or she's not in between. you want him gone or not?
I want him gone if I get the right package.
Gone is gone.
No.
Gone means he's going to get the right
package. I'm not trading Josh Hader for you.
Stop it, because I'm worth way more than Josh Hader, because he can't do the leap. Now, let's get back to facts. Do you want him gone or not, assuming they're going to get all what you want?
What are you wearing?
This
something amazing. Just looks amazing.
It looks like pajamas.
Pleasant Prairie.
Looks amazing.
My favorite place.
Yeah.
Blue vest.
Champion's way cheaper, too, than
Jordan. For sure. And it's smooth. It's soft.
I can get five of these for one pair of Jordan.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
And I'm glad you put me there, Steve. Thank you to Giannis. Not only is his shoe the best affordable shoe in MVP history, ever, an MVP shoe, $120. Thank you, Giannis. Let's get back to these facts.
Yeah.
So Steve want him gone. What you say, Junior?
No, I don't. I really don't. I really, really,
you sound
really,
like
really
Gina
don't.
Della a little bit.
No. I don't want to get messed with some bad assets.
But Gina.
I don't want this
Gina,
window to leak and
Gina,
cost me money.
Gina, I need you to be, because we're going to take this package to David Stern. So that's what I'm setting up for you. I want Steve to present me a package that I'm going to walk into David Stern's in the break and see can I sell him on it. Now, you tell me what you want to do, Gina, because this is facts, because the fan base is in a holding pattern. Because they see what's going on. They see these rumors.
There's fans jumping off the bandwagon left and right.
No.
They're not in a holding pattern. People are doing can head for dive.
So you telling me the fan base is giving up on Josh Hader?
No. I'm saying the fan base is giving up on the Brewers already.
Oh, man, stop. We just got a new logo. Would you stop?
Go look on social media, man.
Man, you think I drive by social media?
People are going after Mark for being a cheapskate.
Oh, man.
People are killing them.
It ain't their money. We have to be physically responsible.
Right.
Moving forward with your two MVP candidates, Josh Hader and the real MVP, okay? This ain't Monopoly money, folks.
We don't have a lot of the real money.
And Mandela, that's my guy. I tried to get 4.5 million people in that stadium. Joey told me he can't get but 3.8.
Nope.
So it's a lot of fixed cost, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to hear that.
Nope.
But in the break, I want to take a package to David Stern. Now, Steve, put me one together. And you saying no. Look like you're waffling a little bit,
because I'm looking at this budget and I just don't know.
And then you can do about the budget. We're stuck in Milwaukee.
That's the thing. I know where I'm stuck in, so I got to make the fiscally responsible decision.
You have to.
And I got to keep 22. I cannot let Christian Yelich walk out the door, and it feels like to me I'm going to have to, I might have to sacrifice 71, and I just, I don't like it. I'm sweating. I feel gross. My leg is twitching, and now you're just going to talk about Gina Della from Pella, because it does make me feel better when I hear about good packages like Gina Della from Pella.
I just be wanting people to understand that what we have to go through to put these things together, we don't just be flying by. Now.
It's wild.
I just want people on the record what they want. I think the only guy that really
I'm waffling left and right
to be on the fence is me. But
LeRoy,
I'm consistent.
It's a big-ass fence that I'm sitting on, because it needs to be as big as possible to keep me up there.
But the way y'all talk about it, like it's so easy.
It's not. It's not as easy as getting
the
windows you want.
Is getting Pete to your house to come measure your window.
Replaced right now today.
Listen, this is no read. This is a testimony. I got a good friend of mine. He heard that whistling sound. And he also compared the whistling sound next to his heating bill. Now, you put those two things together, I have something that'll cure both of them. That's Pella Window and Doors. You don't have to worry about some of these other knockoff companies that try to all these gimmicks. No, all Pella Window and Doors is just straight facts. They're going to save you money. The money that you're going to invest in your windows, they're going to save you on that to stop that whistling sound. So when you put your thermostat at, well, me and LeRoy like it at, 68.
Smart kids.
But the girls like it at 77.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't matter. Whatever you set it, it should feel like that in your house. And don't worry about your budget. Again, don't worry about the budget. They have financing opportunities for everybody. They just want you to come over there and look at them. Sit down with one of the great salespeople. We've met a lot of them because we had an event there. And just say, listen, I want to do these front two windows. You know, matter of fact, I want to do the back two or three or four or five in the spring, fine. I want you to go over to 19030 West Blue Mountain Road. Just buzz up in there. Well, don't do that, but just walk up in there politely with your wife and say, LeRoy Butler and Gary Ellison sent you. And they also told me that you have some great financial opportunities. I want to be able to look at that. Now, if I agree to this package, like Steve is about to give me, when can Pete start? When can I see somebody out to my house measuring and, you know, just doing what you'll see a Pella truck drive up? When can that happen? 24 hours.
Oh.
The other companies are not doing that.
24 hours?
Yeah. Hey, get over there and just say, I want to see what I'm getting. Don't do all this online gimmicky stuff. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're going to waste your money. Because you're going to go with all these other companies and guess what? You're going to circle back to Pella anyway. So just go there first. For you millennials out there, sometimes y'all don't like to go online. Let me give you a phone number. You can get this to your parents. 262-783-6600. So you know somebody in your family still got a flip phone. You know
my mom has one.
Hey, I love your mom.
She does.
And you know what, Steve? I ate the last few of the nuts that she made.
Billy's are still on the table at my house.
Where they at?
They're on the table at my house. No, they're for Billy. They're not for you. My mom made them for Billy. I forgot 2 days in a row now.
Finn is probably eating them right now.
If I remember, I'll bring them tomorrow to the brat stuff.
That's Steve's what I like
mom
to hear.
Mom make the best pecans.
Candy pecans.
Ever. And my bag was a little bit heavier because I love her.
You like pecans, Billy?
Yeah, I love them.
Candy pecans, you're good?
There's candy
on it?
Yeah, man.
Okay. They're good. 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Or go to PelloWI.com today. Tell them Gary Ellison and LeRoy Butler sent you.
This baseball talk is too stressful.
I'm ready.
We got to talk.
You ready?
No.
We got to talk.
Then I got to do the package deal now then.
Well,
Kokorowski's next, right?
Kokorowski's next, then Lawrence Holmes.
Hold that package.
We're not
going to
have time. 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Man, I'm 43. I'm not going to remember the 5 o'clock.
Write it down.
I got a pen for you.
Hold
it.
Because I got other people say they want to present packages too. Present me something for Josh Hader. If I deem your package is not worthy, I'm going to say, Mitch, Steve should be fired.
There you go. Leap 36 making big time moves.
Think about what you're doing now.
I guess
now.
I won't be at the Brat Stop tomorrow.
No, you don't. No. I take that back.
Sorry, Mitch. Guess I won't be going.
No. We take that back.
It's an extra
we need
Joe, congratulations. It's all you, buddy.
It's an extra trip abroad for me. That works out. No. Jay Kokorowski's up next. Lawrence Homestock, Bears and Packers in 15 minutes on 105.7 FM, The Fan. I love this guy, man. This is Leap 36, Leroy Butler in the building.
Hey, man, I need to start working with some normal people, man. America, you have four of these yahoos in here trying to give me all these packages for Josh Hader.
My stomach still hurts.
Hey, man, give me Matt Scherzinger. What's
it? Scherzer, him too.
Kershaw, Garrett Cole, and two other people that I listen. Otherwise, leave me alone. I'd rather talk to Kokorowski.
I was going to say, does Kokorowski fit into that package at
all? No, I ain't trading him for nothing.
Not at all. Jake Kokorowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
No, I ain't trading him for
talking Badgers football. We need to get into some football conversation because this baseball stuff's hurting my head.
Yeah,
Jake,
I don't know why
appreciate it, man. Welcome back, and welcome to the Rose Bowl. Is this going to be your first trip to Pasadena?
It will be.
Congratulations.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I already booked the plane ticket out, heading out on the 28th, which is a Saturday. I mean, I have to go through O'Hare, so that's not a great thing, but the price,
Jake,
it'll be good.
Make sure you turn that expense report in now. Don't get caught slipping.
I know, Leroy. I got you.
Jake's a smart guy. He's not leaving any stone unturned.
Yeah, don't do
now,
like Gary.
Jake, let's take one step back before we take a couple of steps forward and look into where this Badger program goes from here. The game against Ohio State, I thought it showcased a lot of different things that are to be positive for with the Wisconsin Badgers. And I thought Jack Cohen played an incredible first half. I thought Quintez Cephas at certain points was the best player on the field. Jonathan Taylor continued to be an outstanding, exemplifying person to look at in college sports as well as professional sports. They had all the pieces for 30 minutes. And then did the wheels fall off, or was that just a talent differential?
I think, really, talking to a couple of the players, I talked to Cole Van Lannen about that second half, and he just mentioned that just the players weren't on the same page in terms of offense, in terms of the receivers, offensive line, quarterbacks, running backs. That he mentioned that it seemed like they weren't on the same page. Jonathan Taylor mentioned some pass rushes, some different pressures that they had that they threw at Wisconsin in that second half. But I think it's also, the talent of Ohio State. You have two Heisman candidates and Justin Fields and Chase Young. For that matter, J.K. Dobbins, like Jonathan Taylor, could have been in any other year a Heisman finalist as well. But you have to give credit to the Buckeyes coaching staff, too, for making changes. Zach Vaughn told me after the game that they figured out what they were doing, what Wisconsin was doing, and even what Wisconsin was doing, where they had three sacks. They're getting pressure to Justin Fields on that bad MCL. They found out what they were doing, and they adjusted appropriately, and then you saw the 27 unanswered points. But for 30 minutes, like you mentioned, though, it's Wisconsin put Ohio State on the ropes for a bit, and even in the press box, a few of us were asking, I know we talked about it, I think, last week, like if they do pull off this upset and they do it in a convincing fashion like they did in the first half, are they that number four in the college football playoff? But again, a consolation prize is the Rose Bowl, and which obviously for Wisconsin fans, I remember as a kid growing up and watching it. It's the 1994 Rose Bowl, and it's going to be quite the spectacle going up against Oregon once again.
Yeah, Jake, I want to look at recruiting because to me, I think that's way more important this time of the year, especially in February. And I'm sure we'll have you on to talk about that. But how does this look to recruiting? I know they see the record, but do they ultimately say, hey, listen, you beat Minnesota and you're going to a Rose Bowl because you haven't been there in a while? That has to be positive to any kid in the Midwest.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think for Wisconsin, too, it's a track record of success. And I know some people may not weigh bowl games as much, but Wisconsin's riding a five-game winning streak in bowl games. They've reached, this is going to be their third New Year's Six bowl in four seasons, for that matter. And they've knocked off, I know it was Western Michigan, but they also knocked off Miami in the Orange Bowl and whatnot. So I think it's a testament, you know, it's another 10-win season for Wisconsin, so it's a winning program. So I think it does help recruiting. It also, I mean, there are other factors to consider in every recruiting class in terms of needs and you know, and where there's certain fits with each class and the strengths of each position group. But it has to help out where you see a team rebound like Wisconsin did after, you know, falling to 6-2, and then they ride a four-game winning streak into November, and you see this coaching staff. I think the message is huge too with recruiting. You hear a lot of recruits, especially with this class, talk about how it's a family, and so you see how the family stuck together, and now they're going off to Pasadena.
Yeah, cause I want to stick to that, because that was Jake Cone, really, to me. You know, beating Miami was, you know, I think he only attempted like 11 passes or whatever, but it seemed like to be he had a heads up over Graham Mertz. But for some reason, if Oregon were to beat Wisconsin, I think then more people may want to see Graham Mertz, what I call say Mertzy. But if he wins the Rose Bowl, you got to think he's the favorite to come back to be starter again next year, wouldn't he?
I think, I mean, just based off of this year in general and what he's done for Wisconsin, and he's completing over 70% of his passes. He hasn't coughed off the ball. He's shown an ability, which everybody was wanting a Wisconsin quarterback to do, was to stretch the field. And you saw that with Quintez Cephas making those plays, and Wisconsin even, you know, hitting Kendrick Pryor for a, you know, catch and go for 33 yards at times. I think that was a few games ago too. So he's, you know, Cone is stretching the field, and he's put together a really solid season. I mean, 2,500 passing, he has 17 touchdowns, but only four interceptions. So I think, you know, if he does win the Rose Bowl, I think it does help bolster the resume for the junior quarterback heading into what could be his final year. He still hasn't redshirted, for that matter, because he played last year in five games instead of four, which would have kept his redshirt year. But it will be interesting to see just what happens in spring ball, not to get too far ahead since, you know, we have Oregon coming up. But Mertz and Cone and I think Chase Wolfe, this is the most, in my opinion, the most talented quarterback room Wisconsin's had in recent memory. And you have just three players that I think have great skill sets. And you've seen the leaps and bounds that Cone's made this season alone. And towards the end of the fall camp practices that were open to the media, in about mid-August, you started seeing Graham Mertz and putting together some things after maybe, I wouldn't say necessarily struggling in the first week, but was kind of, you know, going through installations and digesting the playbook that was being thrown at him. So I think Mertz, you know, even this year, he's completed 9 of 10 passes for 73 yards, and he's looked sharp in garbage time. But, you know, that's going to be the big thing in spring ball is to see, you know, Cone, I think, has obviously the starting experience, and he's shown that he can lead Wisconsin's offense to success, where they're averaging almost 35 points per game. It's just a matter of just can Graham Mertz fall camp to challenge Cone.
Talking with Jay Kokorowski at BadgerBlitz.com, part of the Rivals Network, here on the Wendy's Big Show. And you just mentioned it about what Jack Cohen did, not only in the Big Ten championship game, Jake, but throughout the entire season. I thought it was pretty evident that this team feeds off his leadership. Like it feels like it is indeed Jack Cohen's football team. And I put that out during the game, and people wanted to get at me and get on me for it. But there's a different level of competitiveness that you see with that dude, and he's been there in that locker room for quite some time. How much in your dealings with Paul Chryst do you see that meaning something to the Badgers head coach?
I think it means something. I mean, I think you've seen his poise and leadership step up in a significant manner this year compared to where he was last year, where a second-year player, he proved, I remember talking to Michael Dieter about what Cone did last year and saying, hey, you know, he can run the offense now. And, you know, they had someone up backing up Alex Hornibrook. But when you saw once Hornibrook was injured and was out for those games, you know, it was a sophomore that was trying to get, you know, getting his legs underneath him and trying to start in Big Ten environment. And they're all, you know, all the games starting were on the road. But you've seen the change where, I mean, there's a poise and a leadership to him that I think the coaching staff sees with out of him. And, you know, the players have responded to him. And I remember even talking to Kendrick Pryor right before fall camp, and he mentioned the quarterbacks and the receivers during the summer. They were going, and they're, you know, besides the summer conditioning, they were doing extra sessions throwing to each other, and so that established even more chemistry. But you just see how the team reacts around Cone. You've seen how he's, you know, he had, you know, with his rushing touchdowns and whatnot on Saturday, and how they flocked to him and making those big plays. And I mean, I think leadership speaks volumes too. I also think the coaching staff as well is going to look at, you know, which quarterback and which players are going to put the team, the offense, in the greatest position to succeed. And, you know, I think Cone has done that so far, especially, you know, this season in 2019.
Jake, two players that I think are so intriguing and also incredible for the Wisconsin Badgers football program and also this team's success moving forward. So I got to ask you about these two guys. Have we seen them play, or will we see them in Pasadena play their final game in a Wisconsin Badgers uniform? Jonathan Taylor and Quintez Cephas.
I think with Jonathan Taylor, I think based off of just, you saw the kind of the final lap or the quarter lap against Purdue. We videotaped that on Badger Blitz and put up on our YouTube page in terms of him with the fans and saying, I don't know if it was a goodbye, but it sure felt that way.
Right.
I think, I mean, based off of the number of carries that he has, and, you know, I'm looking through the stats right now, guys. He's got 299 carries last year, you know, this year. He's had about 606 coming in previous, in the past two seasons. I think, I mean, and we talked about it even during the beginning, you know, back in July, back in August. You know, this is likely his last year at Wisconsin, because he's now a junior. He's proven what he can do. He's added that skill set of catching a ball out of the backfield, which NFL teams will like, and you'll see that emphasized more, I'm sure, once he plays on Sundays. I think it will likely be Taylor's last go, though he, you know, back, I think it was for the Purdue game or whatnot, I think they're in player availability at the end, he said he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure yet. So officially he hasn't declared anything, but I think it is with him, you know, this could be his final go around, and what a way to finish out in Pasadena. With Cephas, though, I think we'll see on that. I mean, you've seen the big play big playability. He leads the team in receptions, but far and away with 52, and he's only 158 yards away from 1,000 yards, and who knows what Jack Cohen and him could do against the Ducks defense coming up on New Year's Day. But I think if he declared, I think he'd have the ability to, you know, he'd be a draft pick, and he definitely could make an impact early on any NFL team. But I also think he'd be great coming back for his, you know, for a final year and making the most of it and having, you know, Jack Cohen throw to him once again.
Jake, appreciate it, man. It's been so much fun talking all year long. We'll catch you one more time before Pasadena. And if we don't, have fun and enjoy it, man. It seems like the best atmosphere in all of college football.
Hey, thank you, guys. Looking forward to it. If I don't talk to you beforehand, happy holidays to y'all. It's been great working with you, talking with you guys, and looking forward to hopefully you guys get off to Pasadena, too.
No doubt about it, Jake. Take it easy, man. Happy holidays as well. Jake Kokorowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Take a quick timeout. Now head down south, as we will go south, not as far. We'll meet in the middle with Lawrence Holmes of 670 The Score at the Brat Stop in Kenosha tomorrow, 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's Brat Bowl 1. It's Score against Fan, Bears against Packers. We're getting ready for Bears and Packers week with Lawrence Holmes. The post-game show as well on NBC Sports Chicago. He works with a bunch of former Bears. Where do they feel the opening for a Bears victory would be, and how much are people actually believing the Bears can go to the playoffs? We'll ask Lawrence Holmes next. Stop. On The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.